Welcome to the Learn Fit podcast. This is our first episode, and the topic for today's podcast will be about the myth of healthy eating.
So we're going to be looking at the arguments for the clean eating diet, the arguments against it, and then a few recommendations to work around it that are applicable to most people. Before we start, we just like to say that the clean eating or healthy eating approach can work for a lot of people, but we're just trying to ensure that everyone has the most comfortable experience when they're trying to lose weight. And for the general public, our recommendations are going to be very useful. If you are obese and you have been recommended by a doctor or medical professional to eat certain foods within your diet, please don't take any of our advice as medical advice, and please consult a medical professional before implementing any of what we've said into your diet.
Right, so let's start with perhaps one of the biggest arguments against clean eating, which is the adherence factor.
So clean eating, I mean, objectively, it's most whole foods don't taste as good as processed or junk foods, and due
Because
to this,
junk foods have
it's
been
fairly, yeah. I mean,
engineered to taste good, but then suddenly
and
you
be
are
yeah.
met with the healthy foods that have zero engineering behind them, I guess, in a way.
Yeah,
So there's the
and.
contrast there. Kind of gets hard because dieting as it is already hard. Why make it so much more difficult by just eliminating everything you love from the diet?
If you don't like what you're eating, it's going to be much harder for you to stick to it in the long term, and that's a terrible thing when you're trying to diet or lose weight.
That can lead to all sorts of things, such as yo-yo dieting, and even in the short term, it can lead to a lot of stress, which, as we know, is probably going to impede your weight loss as well in some way. Another argument against the entire clean eating school of thought is the fact that is clean eating really healthy? For instance, if you're 30 pounds overweight, and if you're 30 pounds overweight, what would be better for your health? A lower cholesterol diet or losing those extra 30 pounds? What will have a better outcome? Sometimes it becomes important to, I guess, prioritize the foods based on what would be the better outcome. For instance, let's say nuts. It's the typical healthy food. It's typically associated with better cholesterol. But then it has calories. It's rich in calories. That'll impede your weight loss, possibly lead to weight gain. And then, well, would you be better off if you without the nuts or with the nuts? Because in this case, the single thing that's going to help the most with your health is losing the weight.
The selection of foods is going to be a secondary factor, with the most important thing being really being the calories that you're consuming. Because if you're in a caloric deficit, there's no way that you can break the laws of thermodynamics and somehow not lose weight. You're going to lose weight if you're in a deficit. And if there are certain foods that help you get into that deficit while still tasting good and while still letting you be consistent with them, those are the foods that you should select, and those may not be the foods that are typically called healthy or whole.
And on top of that, you hear there's like these examples, such as that professor who ate McDonald's every month, every day. And despite that, he still ended up losing weight and getting better blood work results in nearly all the markers of health that he had. It's while McDonald's, while he probably could have gotten even better improvements if he had chosen something healthier, the fact that he even got improvements through just a calorie deficit as the main driver behind it shows how powerful this can be, and how being healthy does not need to mean, does not necessarily mean the healthy foods, but simply being at a healthy weight can offer more benefits than the actual foods that you consume, tying back into what you've said.
This is also seen in the Dr. Mike's healthy eating pyramid in his book Understanding Healthy Eating, in which he talks about how calorie balance is at the bottom of the pyramid and is the primary factor for maintaining a good health.
Typically, healthier foods or whole foods are going to be more satiating, but there are a few cases where that's not true, and misconceptions about this could be dangerous. So, for example, muesli, which is thought of as a extremely healthy food, almost as a superfood, is much less satiating than French fries, which is on the other end of most people's spectrum. It's thought of as a fast food or a junk food.
This was as
In
per
the same way,
the
pop.
satiety index study that was conducted back in the 1990s. And while the limitations of the study was that it didn't exactly go into the extremely obese people, but there are quite a few lessons and applications that you can still take away from this. And while French fries may not be the perfect replacement for muesli always, or even in most people's diet, it still speaks quite a bit about the entire idea of what is healthy, tying back into the previous point about how weight maintenance is going, maintaining a healthy weight is going to be the primary thing that's gonna keep you healthy. And even if it comes at expense of sometimes eating not the healthiest option, it can still be worth it. And we're not trying to tell you to eat French fries instead of muesli, of course, because, well, it isn't healthy, which and is not satiating. And while it is technically more satiating than muesli, it's still at the bottom of the satiety index, right next to white bread. And there are much better options that you can eat, even in the realm of fast food. Another more healthier comparison would be between popcorn and bananas.
Popcorn, which is again thought of as a food that's more on the junk side of things, is more satiating than bananas, which are a fruit, obviously, and are on the more healthy side of things. And again, we have to ask the question, what exactly does the term healthy mean? Because here, if a person's trying to get in the same amount of satiety with less calories, popcorn could possibly be a better option than eating fruits like bananas. And this is a very important factor for those trying to lose weight, because satiety is one of the most fulfilling feelings that you can get. And feeling full after a meal is going to make you feel like you ate a lot more than you actually did, which is
And in
always good.
an ad libitum meat diet where you're eating at will without tracking calories, satiety is like the primary way that you maintain a calorie deficit. And also, it's important to make the distinction. It's the plain popcorn, the kind that you pop off the fresh kernels. That's the one that's healthy, low-calorie snack that still tastes good and actually has a fair bit of micronutrients as well as fiber, which is healthy. So while popcorn isn't like French fries, actually a more unhealthy food in a way, it's actually one of the healthiest foods that you can take, both because of its unique, because of its fiber nutrients, but also because of its satiety, which can go a long way towards maintaining your weight.
The clean eating approach has also been shown to lead to eating disorders, which can cause many negative psychological and physical effects, and are not ideal in any sense of the word.
And not exactly clean eating in a full way. While after the previous section might have been sort of like slam dunk, go away clean eating, but there actually are a few arguments for clean eating.
For those who are not as experienced in the field of nutrition science, Clean eating is a much easier approach to understand because all you have to do is eat healthy foods, unprocessed, non-junk foods, and
Everyone knows what healthy is.
it's extremely easy to understand because there are a select few foods that you eat, and you just eat them for the rest of your life, and you maintain a healthy weight.
And on top of that, it actually usually leads to good health outcomes due to its it typically healthier foods have better macronutrient compositions, less single nutrient, but rather a mix of protein, fats, and carbohydrates, as well as you're typically going to find, you're more likely to find the healthier fats such as omega-3s, DHA, EPA, and monounsaturated fatty acids, as opposed to trans fat, which you mostly get in the unprocessed foods. And even fiber is a lot easier to find in the healthier foods. For instance, the like most fruits and vegetables are a rich source of fiber. And I'm not sure how many people you'll find who say fruit is unhealthy.
There are a few bros who will say that it has fructose and should not be
But that's a
consumed.
topic for another
But
video.
and like we said earlier, foods of the clean eating diet are typically more satiating. They have a higher value on the satiety index, which is helpful for people losing weight because they can feel more full within a lower amount of calories. So now that we've covered both sides of the argument, you're probably still confused as to what would work for you. So here are our recommendations.
So our first recommendation is the 80-20 ratio. What this is basically is that eat about 80% healthy, typically healthy foods that are higher volume, rich in micronutrients, rich in fiber, etc., such as fruits, vegetables, and mostly whole single ingredient unprocessed foods. These are typically higher volume and more satiating, which is likely to be good for your diet and satiety, especially in an ad libitum setting.
In addition to this, make sure to eat large amounts of vegetables because fiber is extremely satiating, and this will lead to a lower calorie consumption throughout the day, which is the basis of losing weight as a whole. Another option that works for a lot of people, as long as it's not stressing you out, is to track your calories and macronutrients, because this way you can ensure that you're hitting your macronutrient goals while being in a caloric deficit that's actually measured. And you can do this through eating almost anything that you enjoy, as long as you're getting those requirements and you're staying in that deficit.
And in addition, and you don't actually need to track most of the things, just ensure that you're getting enough protein. You really just need to track the protein and the calories. And by tracking the calories, you also get some kind of sign to know, some kind of measure to base everything against. So if you're not losing weight, you have a better idea of what might be causing that.
Finally, never take cheat meals or cheat days, and what I mean by this is don't look at them as cheating, because cheating implies that you're breaking the rules of your diet. But if the rules of your diet plan state that you're allowed to eat a junk on processed foods every once in a while and like what you're eating, then by all means please do eat those foods. And most of the guilt that is usually associated with a cheat day, will not be associated with those foods when you eat them. Should I say that again? I feel like I kind of.
Yeah, the last bit was a bit off, but the
Yeah, I
first part
know.
was good.
I'll just say it again. And finally, never take cheat meals or cheat days. And what I mean by this is, don't look at. Hold on. And finally, never take cheat meals or cheat days. And by this, what I mean is, cheating implies that you're breaking the rules of your diet plan. But if your diet plan states that you're allowed to eat processed junk foods whenever, I mean, you're allowed to eat processed junk foods when you feel like, as long as you're within your calorie limit,
And the 20% rule.
then yeah, within your calorie limit and following the 80-20 ratio, you won't have the same feelings of guilt that are normally attached to processed junk foods. And this can really help with the adherence factor, as we said earlier, because you'll be eating foods that you're enjoying while still maintaining a healthy weight and doing this in the long term.
And just remember that everything in moderation can be a part of a healthy, balanced diet to get you to a healthy weight and to just live a healthier life and healthier and longer life and just make you feel better. And finally, while the clean eating as a diet isn't exactly the optimal approach, eating clean foods, there's nothing really wrong in eating clean, healthy foods. Of course, you need to be able to make the distinction between what is healthy foods for weight loss as compared to what are not so great healthy foods, such as nuts and such as nuts in the case of in if you're looking at weight loss and some. And you should also note that not all the unhealthy foods that you're thinking about are exactly unhealthy. And there's often variations that you can make of it. And you can often simply remove ingredients, add ingredients in to make food taste better. For instance, there's Greg Doucette's Anabolic Cookbook and his recipes that he has made that sort of healthify the main unhealthy recipes. And this kind of talks into the kind of preload approach where eating healthier foods and just adding them onto the diet can actually sometimes benefit your weight loss by adding without necessarily consciously removing anything. Like there's a study where eating an apple before a meal reduced the calorie consumption during that meal by 300 calories. So while clean eating as an approach isn't the best, clean foods are still an excellent addition. This wraps up our first podcast, and we're open to feedback. Just send us a message on our Instagram, learnfit_2021. If you like the podcast, then please do consider subscribing to it. Subscribe to our YouTube channel as well for shorter form content. And if you want, if you would like, leave a review if you want. And well, come back next time. This is the Learn Fit podcast.